Morning. Today we hear from Matthew chapter 25, and Jesus is talking with his disciples about what it's going to look like when the sign of the coming and the close of the age. The question that the disciples ask is in Matthew 24. And at verse 3, he says, "As he sat on the Mount of Olives, the disciples came to him privately, saying, 'Tell us, when will these things be, and what will be the sign of your coming and the close of the age?' And Jesus answered them," and he has a long sort of teaching on what that's all going to look like, ultimately coming to the conclusion that we don't know when things are going to happen the way that they're going to happen. We don't know when, but we do know what they're kind of going to look like. He also tells a couple of parables about being prepared for his return, being prepared for the coming of the close of the age. And in this one parable that we're going to read today, he talks about using the gifts that God has given you for his glory, not for ours. So in Matthew 25, starting at verse 14, he says, "For it will be like a man going on a journey who called his servants and entrusted to them his property. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to each according to his ability. Then he went away. He who had received the 5 talents went at once and traded with them, and he made 5 talents more. So also he who had the 2 talents made 2 talents more. But he who had received the 1 talent went and dug in the ground and hid his master's money. Now after a long time, the master of those servants came and settled accounts with them. And he who had received the 5 talents came forward, bringing 5 talents more, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 5 talents. Here I have made 5 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' And he also who had the 2 talents came forward, saying, 'Master, you delivered to me 2 talents. Here I have made 2 talents more.' His master said to him, 'Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master.' He also who had received the 1 talent came forward, saying, 'Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow and gathering where you scattered no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours.' But his master answered him, 'You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to the one who has the 10 talents. For to everyone who has, will more be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." It's a pretty harsh, harsh parable to hear. And a lot of times we can focus on the negative. We can focus on the one servant who got it wrong, basically. He was given the gift that he was given. He was entrusted with 1 talent of money, a certain amount of money that was given to him by the master of the house to be used, as far as we can tell, to be used for his purpose, his master's purpose, not his own. But he didn't know what to do because he misinterpreted. He didn't know who the master was very well. He calls him a hard man, where he, you know, reaping where he doesn't sow. And there's no indication that the master of the house was like that. It's just that was his perception. And so the one verse that sort of sets it apart right there, verse number 25, the one servant says, "So I was afraid. I was afraid. I was afraid to use what you had given me. I was afraid to even chance that I might lose it. I was afraid to do anything with it. So I froze and I hid it in the ground. And I just want to give it back to you." And that's where we tend to focus on the negative. We hear that and we go, "Oh my gosh, that's terrible." And then he's thrown into the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's terrible. But it was the fear that the master saw. that he was afraid to use what God had given him. He was afraid to use what the master had given him. He was afraid. And so when he hid it in the ground, it wasn't for his master's purpose that he hid it in the ground. It was to save his own skin. It was because he was afraid. He didn't want to risk it. He didn't want a chance that something might go wrong. And in so doing, something did go wrong. In so hiding his master's money in the ground, what happened to him was what he had been afraid of happening. And he was cast out. He failed in the task that the master had given him. And so we can spend all our time focusing on that one servant. We can focus on the master's reaction to the servant, and maybe in our eyes it's severe, but when you see the motivation, the fear, the master calls him wicked and slothful, meaning that he was afraid and so he refused to do anything, so he sat on it. He didn't do anything the whole time the master was away. And it just says after a long time, the master returned. We don't know how long he was away. But in the meantime, something that we tend to miss, I think sometimes we miss it. Maybe we don't. Maybe you don't. But sometimes we focus too much on the negative and we miss what happens with the other two. Now here's just sort of a side trivia. Maybe it's nothing. Maybe it's just me thinking. But he gave the one servant 5 talents and the other 2. So if you want to play the numbers game, that's 7. 7 being a complete number in Scripture. 7 being the number of days of creation, including the Sabbath. 7 being that whole number, the 7 churches, the 7 lampstands, 7 stars. These are the 7. Not only that, but think of the feeding of the 5,000. He had 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish. Again, maybe nothing, might just be me making trivia, but it's something to take notice of, I think, because this is complete. What he gives to the 2 servants is a complete gift, a complete and total gift. This master entrusts in these 2 servants everything. And I think we can read it that way. He trusts in these 2 servants everything. And they, because they are of one mind and of one, you know, heart, having the master's purposes in mind, they go and do what the master wants them to do. And in so doing, in their work for the master, in his absence, they produce plentifully. They produce plentifully, enough to feed the 5,000 plus more. So I think as we read this, we need to pay attention to going about God's purposes, not our own. And I think that's where we get it wrong sometimes. We focus on our own purpose. What's my purpose? What am I here for? What is the one thing God has given me to do? And we get really like self-centered on that. And God, in this parable, Jesus is telling his disciples, just be about the master's business. Do what God has given you to do. And if you don't know what that is, I'll tell you. If you don't know what God's given you to do, I'm going to tell you what God's given you to do. He's given you forgiveness through Christ so that you can forgive. He's given you grace and peace so that you can share that with others. He's given you comfort in the gospel so you can give comfort and comfort others. He's given you gifts and talents, not for your own good, but for somebody else to share those gifts and talents with. I think we as human beings, our sinful selves turn inward and we focus on what am I here to do? How can I use these gifts and talents? What is the advantage for me? And here, the 2 that are praised and are given, the well done, good and faithful servant, you have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of the master. The ones who get to enter into the joy of the master are those who have been about God's business. Now, as a parable, there's certainly the perfect that God is shown in the parable, that Jesus tells in the parable. And we, of course, don't always use the gifts and talents God has given us in the right way. we don't always use it for his purpose. And in that, when we do that, God is even more gracious and supplies us not just the forgiveness and grace that we need, but he gives us more opportunities. You miss this one, he says, so here's another. You miss this one, so here's another. Here are more and more opportunities. And God does that. He provides plentiful opportunities to be about his business. Even in the midst of our times when things seem so constricted, he still gives us plenty of opportunities to be about his business. There are places that we can go. There are people we can talk to. There are letters we can write. There are postcards we can send. There are pictures we can take and things we can share that are uplifting and encouraging and point people to Jesus. So ultimately, the five and the two, the complete gift, has been given to the people in the parable, but they've been given to us as servants of the Master, as followers of Christ. We have the perfect gift of grace and mercy, peace, forgiveness, comfort, joy, all of those things. And so go. Be about his business. Share those gifts that God has given you. They're not to be kept to yourself. They're not to be sequestered in a coffee can buried in the backyard. They're to be used. So use them. However God has gifted you, and only you really know what that gift is as far as your talents go, but the gift for every Christian is the same when it comes from Christ, and that is that forgiveness, that grace, that peace, that mercy, that love. Those are the gifts that are universal. They're for everybody, all the time. And so there isn't a single follower of Christ that hasn't been given those gifts. Again, we each have different sort of skills and talents and things that we can share that are outside of those things that God has blessed us with. And we are supposed to share those as well. We're supposed to use our gifts for our hands to serve another. So that's what we do. We serve. So as we hear this parable pointing to the end when Christ returns, in the meantime, we're to be about his business. We're to be about his work. We're to be about the giving and sharing the things that he's given us. So go and do it. Don't wait around for a lightning bolt or some sort of message in the sky. Just go and share. Go and love. Go and forgive those who need to be forgiven. Those who need grace, give them grace. Those who need mercy, be merciful. And through that, the Holy Spirit will work in you and through you, around you, despite you, to accomplish his good and perfect work. So that when that Master returns, when Jesus comes back, because we know he will, we don't know when, but we know he will, we want to hear those words, "Enter into the joy of your Master. Well done, good and faithful servant." Amen.